Hi, everyone. I'm Tanzina Vega, and this is The Takeaway. Happy Monday, and hopefully the time change are treating you okay. Let's get started. Last week, state officials in Georgia announced plans to remove more than 300,000 names from its voter rolls. Election officials say this targets voters who have been inactive or who have moved out of the state in the last few years. But voting rights advocates are worried the purge will disproportionately suppress people of color and younger voters. And with close attention being paid to voting rights in the lead up to 2020, the Georgia purge is just the latest example of how contentious voter registration is becoming. Joining me now to talk about Georgia and the impact of voter purges on people of color is Carol Anderson, a professor at the Department of African American Studies at Emory University and the author of White Rage. Carol, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so much for having me, Tanzina.
I'm also joined by Nancy Thomas, the director at the Tufts Institute for Democracy and Higher Education, to talk about how young people, in particular college students, are targeted by these purges. Nancy, thanks for being with us.
Thanks for having me.
So, Carol, let's start with you. If Georgia cuts 300,000 voters, that would essentially mean they lose 4% of the state's eligible voters. How are election officials in Georgia justifying this?
Well, they justify it by saying that all they're doing is what federal law requires, which is maintaining the voter rolls. They are looking at people who haven't voted in several years, people who may have died or have moved out of the voting district. And so it sounds really routine and like regular maintenance. I mean, because everybody believes you ought to keep your voter rolls maintained. But voter suppression is always cloaked in reasonableness. So that's why you've got the skepticism coming through, because Georgia has a history of targeting minority voters.
So let's talk about that, because you're really focusing here on how this would target voters of color. Why do you say that there would be a disproportionate impact on that community?
One of the key elements here is that when they say that they're looking at people who haven't voted regularly, what we know from the research is that people who are minorities, people who are young, people who are college students, those are the groups that don't vote regularly. And so when you use not regular voting as the litmus test for whether you get removed from the rolls, you get disproportionately removals for those groups.
And why is it that certain voters may have been seen as inactive? Or is it also a question of voter suppression ID or the lack of having the correct identification to go to the polls? Are all these things sort of playing into each other?
They really do play into each other. Since 2014, this is after the Shelby County v. Holder decision gutted the Voting Rights Act, the state of Georgia has shut down over 200 polling places. 75% of those have been in minority and poor communities. What we know, again from the research, is that for every tenth of a mile that a polling place is moved, Black voter turnout goes down by 0.5%. So if you have moved a polling place, which has then made it doubly difficult for people to be able to get to the polls because of the lack of transportation, then they haven't voted because you have removed the polling place where they used to vote. So the state sets up a barrier and then uses that barrier that the state has erected as then the justification to remove you.
Nancy, let's talk about another group of folks who might be disproportionately affected by this, the younger voting population. We've seen younger people turning out more. In 2018, there was a huge turnout. Why are they showing up in purge lists like the one in Georgia, if they are, in fact, turning out to the polls?
Well, first of all, young people are turning out to the polls in higher numbers, particularly 2018, which was a pretty exciting year for this age and demographic group. And the reason why purging affects young people is because they move and they're not settled the way some older people might be. So if you move and change your address, then you're not going to receive that direct mailing that says we are purging you from the voter rolls. Bear in mind, too, that with younger people, they don't communicate that way. They communicate with their thumbs. And so it's not an effective way to communicate with them by using direct mail. Also, just to point out a few things about Georgia, there are 540,000 college and university students in Georgia. and nearly 30% of those are older than 24 years old. So if they're going to purge records, say, after 5 years or based on non-voting, then what they're going to do is they're going to hit a lot of college students who enter school and, contrary to the mythology about college students, probably don't graduate within 4 years. They graduate within 6 years. And so that means at some point during their tenure at college, they may have to re-register. That is not only inconvenient, it's not particularly rational, frankly, and it's unnecessary.
What about this idea, Nancy, that most people would say, of course, we want to make sure the voter rolls are maintained. But what about this idea that people have to be taken off within, 5 years if they haven't voted? I mean, doesn't that go against the fact that you've already signed up, you chose to vote 1 year, you didn't choose? Is that punitive against people who choose not to vote?
I am certain that it has discriminatory purposes behind it because of the groups that it targets and the groups that it disproportionately affects. But more to the point, it's unnecessary. There is no strong evidence of voter fraud or people voting twice or moving and voting where they used to live and where they now live. We have enough trouble getting Americans to vote generally. So there's no reason behind it. Yes, of course we want tidy voter rolls. That would be ideal. But until we have better systems that are not so convoluted and full of misinformation, and we have more supportive local officials who are willing to work with different groups and ensure that they are able to vote, I think this has a discriminatory intent.
And Nancy, is there a concern here that younger voters are perhaps partisan voters? I mean, it's hard to determine the intent here, but I'm just wondering if there's something to that. When we talk about voter suppression, it's often an indirect, as Carol was saying, towards communities of color. Could that be the same thing towards younger voters, that they perhaps tend to vote more liberal or progressive party lines?
I think that is the unspoken and, frankly, in a few cases, very spoken motivation behind this. But it's such a misguided approach to take. So that's like saying, I don't want to allow you to vote because you might vote against me. And that means that our public officials are choosing their voters, as opposed to the way it should be, which is our voters choose our public officials. So would this necessarily be a partisan vote? Right now, young people overwhelmingly vote more progressive and lean Democrat. But that doesn't mean that the Republicans can't change their platforms to appeal to this age group and this demographic group of voters. There is nothing stopping them from designing a platform that will interest young people. So I am a little distressed when I hear, well, we want to stop college students or young people or people of color from voting because we don't think they're going to vote for us.
Carol, you said early at the top of the segment that this is something that in Georgia in particular has played out in the past. And I'm thinking the very recent past. I mean, just in 2018, if you could remind our listeners about the lawsuit between Stacey Abrams and Brian Kemp and how that played out in Georgia.
Yeah. So in that, what we had in that election was we had Brian Kemp as the Secretary of State running for governor and refusing to step down as Secretary of State. So he basically ran the election in which he was running. And as he ran that election, what we had the year before the election, 10% of Georgia's voter rolls had been purged by him. We had that in October, after the purging could no longer happen legally, we had then what was called exact match. And what exact match did was it looked at voter registration cards, matched it up with the state databases or with the Social Security Administration. And if there was any difference between what was on the voter registration and what was in the state database, then that voter registration was put into electoral limbo. It was kicked out of the system for all intents and purposes. Exact match. So if you had a hyphen in your name, Garcia Marquez, but that hyphen didn't show up in the state database, then you were kicked out. 53,000 voter registrations were held up in October of 2018. 70% of those were African American.
Carol, why? And when we talk about these issues, we often have to prove disparate impact here. That to me sounds like a pretty glaring disparate impact on Black voters in particular. Why is this issue, in your opinion, not gotten the national attention, at least that it should be getting, given that we are 1 year away from a very significant presidential election? I haven't heard much about this issue coming up, even in the Democratic debates so far.
Exactly. I have just been frustrated about the lack of understanding what voter suppression has done. And I think it's because it is so wonderfully, beautifully bureaucratic that it sounds reasonable. We must maintain voter rolls. We have to ensure that the people who say they are who they are the ones voting. We have to have election integrity. So it's wrapped and swaddled in all of the language of protection of democracy. And to try to unpack it in sound bites, because too often we are reduced to sound bites. Voter fraud, right? Voter fraud catches on, although voter fraud does not happen at the level that this apparatus for disfranchising millions of citizens has created. And so the Brennan Center, for instance, found that between 2014 and 2018, 33 million Americans had been purged off of the voter rolls. If we saw the kind of violence that we saw during the civil rights movement and saw 33 million bodies piled up there, then we would be shocked and horrified as a nation. But because this is like a silent civic death, we don't see it, and we don't have the kind of visibility that is necessary to bring this to the fore to show how our democracy is really being eviscerated. It was like how Nancy said, there are politicians who are targeting young people and targeting minorities because they say they won't vote for us. And we see that when we see that as you're having polling stations moved off of college campuses, as you're seeing the kind of putting a dividing line, a gerrymandered line between right there on a college campus. So one district is one part of the college is on one part of the district and another piece of the college is in another congressional district. All of those things are designed to target. And that's what we're seeing. But it's so subtle that it doesn't get the kind of attention that it rightly deserves.
Carol Anderson is a professor at the Department of African American Studies at Emory University, author of White Rage, and Nancy Thomas is the director of the Tufts Institute for Democracy and Higher Education. Thanks to you both.
Thank you so much.